In this sicha, the Rebbe is exploring the meaning of eating gebroks on Pesach. The Alter Rebbe writes in a tshuva that a machmer, someone that's careful with gebroks, tovayol of bracha, bracha should come upon it because there's a concern of a isur d'oraisa. If a bit of raw flour that was on the matzah comes in contact with water, chas v'shalom, there's a possibility of it becoming chametz. The Alter Rebbe, however, says that nevertheless, on achron shel Pesach, if someone is more lenient about this because of simchas yom tov, wants to have extra simcha on yom tov, Loi Hiv said he didn't lose out. In other words, it's not so terrible. However, the Rebbe says, practically we saw the anhag of our Rabbeim that on the Seuda of Achron Shel Pesach, they were actually not only were they lenient, but they were medakting, they were particular to have matzah shruya, to have gebroks. And this is what the Rebbe wants to explore over here. What's the significance of that? We know there's a concept of minig Yisrael Toiri. Every minig of Yidden is, of course, part of Toira, especially a minig that the Rabbeim did in a public way. Now, seemingly, you could say they did this because of Simchas Yom Tov, as the Alter Rebbe says. So, what they were trying to be mahadar was not about the gebroks, but they were trying to have extra Simchas Yom Tov. But the Rebbe says it can't be that this is the explanation. In addition to the fact that we don't find any sort of similar idea to this in the minhagim of other Yom Tovim, because Simchas Yom Tov would apply to any Yom Tov. But in addition to this, all the Alter Rebbe says is hamekel, if someone is lenient because of Simchas Yom Tov, loy hifsid, he doesn't lose out. In other words, it is a leniency. Because usually on Pesach we're extra careful. It's just the Alter Rebbe said, Loi Hifsi, you didn't lose out. But the Alter Rebbe is not saying there's some benefit. It's a good thing to do. The Alter Rebbe doesn't say it's a hinder to do this for Simchas Yom Tov. Now the Rebbe says, perhaps we could say that the Rabbeim did this in order to make a differentiation between the last day of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach, which is of course, as we know, there only because of what we know, Sfeika D'Yoyma, as a doubt of whether it's Yom Tov, etc., to differentiate between this day and the first 7 days of Yom Tov, which are definitely Minat Torah, etc. However, the Rebbe says it's difficult to say that just for this itself there would be Mahader to eat Gebroks. And furthermore, the Rebbe says, we saw the conduct of the Rabbeim that they were particular to eat gebroks with every single one of their dishes, with every single one of the foods. If it's only for this differentiation, they wouldn't have to do it in every single thing. The Rebbe now suggests another approach. The Rebbe says that since the Alter Rebbe paskens that if someone is lenient about this, he doesn't lose out, maybe this itself is the reason why the Rabbeim were particular to do it in order to emphasize the chiddush of the Alter Rebbe. This is something similar to what we find in the Gemara by Rabbi Acha, the son of Rava, that would be particular to have a particular type of hadas in the hadasim because his Rebbe was of the opinion that that hadas is also good. And he would, therefore the Talmud would particularly be the one to do this because his Rebbe Rav Kahana said that this is good in a similar way that Rabbeim wanted to emphasize the chiddush of the Alter Rebbe. But again, the Rebbe says from the fact that the Rabbeim are having this with every single one of their foods, we must say there's something more to this over here. That it's more about trying to represent what the whole point of Achron Shel Pesach is all about and therefore all the details in the foods of Achron Shel Pesach. The Rebbe says the explanation we could say is, it's known the difference between Pesach and Shavuos in regards to Chametz. On the one hand, Pesach, Chametz is of course an absolute prohibition. It's completely usher. When it comes to Shavuos, we know in the Beis HaMikdash there was something called Shtei HaLechem. This became an obligation, this became a mitzvah. The two loaves that were specifically made of Chametz. And the explanation Chassidus gives is because Chametz generally shows on one holding himself high, haughtiness, and arrogance and so on, which is the source of all evil, of course. And therefore, at Pesach, when the Yidden are holding just at the first level of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at this point, they're still running away from the Ra, running away from Chametz, and therefore we have to stay far away from it as much as possible. Whereas Shavuos, after the Yidden had gone through the process already of Sfiras Omer, counting all the seven Midos, and each Midah as they include all the other seven, as etc., therefore, Chametz at this point is no longer a contradiction to Avodas Hashem. On the contrary, we have the ability to elevate it. For example, utilizing it in the way of Ayigba Libur B'Darkei Hashem, a person being proud of going in the ways of Hashem, transforming darkness into light. And therefore, at this point, we have an obligation to use the Chametz on Shavuos. The Rebbe says a similar thing is what we could say in Achron Shel Pesach. On Achron Shel Pesach, we went through already the first Sfira, the first Midah. We count already 7 days, and the first Midah, as it includes each one of the other Midahs, Chesed Shem Chesed, Gvura Shem Chesed, etc. In other words, at this point, we already generally caused a bitter somewhat in all of the Midahs, at least all of them the way they are in the first Midah. So even though, of course, we're not holding like on Shavuos, the level where we could mamish use Chametz, for Kedusha and a mitzvah, but at least we don't have to be as cautious anymore in the area of matzah and this idea of the lechem oini, the bittel and the eskafi, to be careful even from something of a concern of the gebroks. We have the ability to utilize in avodas Hashem even something that's not absolutely, completely lowly, etc. And therefore, if we have the ability to utilize something like that, then we should utilize it. We're mahadr to eat the gebroks, and it becomes the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. The Rebbe now moves on and says that we know that generally everything that the Chachamim tell us have a source and something similar in the Torah. And the Rebbe says a similar idea we could say over here, that this idea of eating matzah on Achron Shel Pesach in a particular way comes from something that we find similar in the way matzah is eaten on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. The Rebbe explains. The Gemara learns out from Sheishis Yom Toichel Matzah, so by Yom HaShvi'i Atzeres LaHashem Elokecha, the Gemara says, this teaches us that the seventh day of Pesach is optional, eating matzah is optional. And then the Gemara takes it a step further, that really from the seventh day, we learn from the first 6 days as well, that eating matzah is not an obligation, but it's optional. Only the first night of Pesach is it an absolute mitzvah to eat matzah. But from the fact that we learn it from the seventh day, the Rebbe says, that itself tells us that the main idea of reshus of optional eating matzah is mainly highlighted regarding Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Chassidus explains that when we say that eating matzah is a reshus, that means we're reaching a higher level then when matzah is an obligation. And avodas Hashem, what this means is that when you're told that you have to eat matzah, that means the person on his own is not really holding at that level yet. He has to be warned, he has to be cautioned, to be careful, to be humble, etc., etc. Whereas when you say it's reshus, that means it's completely optional, it's up to you. That means we're relying that you're going to make the right choices. You don't have to be warned anymore to do it. On the contrary, this is a level already of reshus. You're told you have the option to do it, and we're sure you're going to do the right thing. And the Rebbe says that just like we said by Acharon Shel Pesach, that it's because we already counted the seventh sphero, that's why we could already hold by this level of gebrox. A similar idea by Shvi'i Shel Pesach. At this day, we're at the seventh day from the time of Nigla Alei Melech Malchei Amlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of that tremendous Gilui Elikus that happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, when it's the seventh day of that, we say that he had fully internalized it, and therefore, he's holding at this level of matzah on his own. He doesn't even have to be told or warned, etc. Of course, the Rebbe says there's a certain difference between Shvi'i Shel Pesach and Acharon Shel Pesach. Shvi'i Shel Pesach is the seventh day from the Gilui from above. And therefore, even on the seventh day of Pesach, all where he's being told is that you have the option of eating matzah. And we know you're gonna do it, you're gonna hold by that level of bittul. On Acharon Shel Pesach, it's already a step further because the seventh day within Avodah, the Avodah of Sfiras HaEmunah, of refining oneself. And therefore, at this point, the person has a further ability of already having the matzah shuriya de gebroks. Up until this point, the Rebbe was only connecting it with the Sfiras HaEmunah aspect of Acharon Shel Pesach, this idea of gebroks. But the Rebbe says, the Rebbe wants to connect it now to the more general idea of what Acharon Shel Pesach generally is all about. In order to explain this, the Rebbe brings a vort of the Tzemach Tzedek that says that the last day of Pesach is called Acharon Shel Pesach. This is the culmination, the conclusion of what it started on the first day of Pesach. On the first day of Pesach is the Geula, is our Yom Tov for the Geula, Rishonah that Hashem took us out through Moshe Rabbeinu Adam Mitzrayim. The last day of Pesach, we're celebrating the Geula Acharonah that's going to be through Mashiach Tzedkenu. Of course, this idea that Acharon Shel Pesach is connected to Mashiach is also hinted in the fact that we have the Haftorah of Acharon Shel Pesach is all about Mashiach. We know that the Baal Shem Tov had the special Seudas Mashiach and Acharon Shel Pesach because on this day, there's a Ha'orah of Mashiach shining. Now, what's the difference between the Geula Rishonah, the Geula Adam Mitzrayim, and the Geula Acharonah? So we are, Chassidus explains by Yetzias Mitzrayim, it says the Yidden had to run away because at that point, the evil, the Ra, was still full force at that time. They have to run away from the tomb of Mitzrayim. And this is the way it was up until Shvi'i Shel Pesach, up until the time of Kriyas Yamsu, when they were finally rid of Mitzrayim completely. And this is why the Yidden are being told, Lo yiseichel of chametz, you're not allowed to have chametz, you have to be careful. And this is all to do with because they left Mitzrayim in a haste. They ran away from Mitzrayim. At this point, they're only holding at the level of Iskafia. They're not transforming the bad yet. Whereas the Geula Acharonah, we're told, Loi b'chipozim tetzeyo, the Yidden are not going to rush out. At this point, Esruach HaTuma Avriminor, it's all the tumah will be removed from the world. They won't have to run away from it. Says the Rebbe, so since Acharon Shel Pesach is a day connected with the Geula Acharonah, this is the time the Har of Mashiach is shining. This is why we don't have to be as careful anymore with Matzah Shuriya, because we're standing at a level higher than this. Furthermore, the Rebbe says, the Geula Acharonah, not only isn't there going to be any Klippa and Tumah, but it's going to be a state of Ishapra. Everything is going to be transformed. Also similar to the way it says in the Haftorah about the various different things that will be transformed la'asid lavi from bad into good, including the Yetzer Hara itself. And this is why in Achrash HaPesach we're mahadir, we're particular to eat the Shruya with all of our foods, because since this concern of the Shruya at this point is no longer a concern, and on the contrary, it was transformed to Tov and Kedusha, it can be utilized in Avodas Hashem, so we do it, and besimcha, starting with Simchas Yom Tov. The Rebbe says, here too we have something in Nigla de Torah and Halacha that expresses this idea. There's a Halacha that if a person was eating on Achrash HaPesach, his meal continued into Moitzoi Pesach, so technically it's still Pesach for him in the sense he's still going to say in benching Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh. But because it's after the Zman, he didn't have Avdala yet. He's already allowed to eat Chametz. Here we have a similar sort of idea that it's Achron Shel Pesach, and he's already at a level we could be refining and elevating these sorts of ideas. Finally, the Rebbe makes one more point, that even though we said that the first day of Pesach is connected to the Gula Rishonah, the last day of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach is Gula Acharoina, but the Rebbe says, really, it's the first 2 days of Pesach are more connected to Gula Rishonah, and the last 2 days of Pesach, meaning Shvi'i Shel Pesach as well, in some ways connected to the Gula Acharoina. In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, that's when they have Seudas Mashiach, is on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And the Rebbe says this could be connected to the idea that really, in many ways, Kriyas Yamsuf was similar already to what's going to happen by the Geula Hasida, where there is no Klippa left, there was no Mitzrayim left. And furthermore, all the bad was transformed into good, as it says, V'layla, the darkness itself was shining like day, similar to what's going to be La'asid Lavi. The Rebbe says this is again connected to the idea of what we spoke about Achilas Matzah Rishus, because it also says that this Gilui is called, the Gilui of Shvi'i Shel Pesach is called the Rishus, Almud Acheder, the world of freedom, a world of liberation, etc. The Rebbe says this Avoida is similar to the time of Lost Lover, where again we're going to be beyond obligations. It's going to be a time where the Yid is doing the mitzvahs of the Eibishter completely just because he's one with the Eibishter, not because he's forced to do it. And furthermore, as we know, at that time there won't be, as it says, Le'rov, Le'milchama, no famine, no war, no jealousy, no competition. The whole world will only be involved in the knowledge of Hashem. It says, Kimalar, Zayas Hashem, Kamayim, Le'yam, Chasim.